We are in Luke 2, and I want to begin our reading at verse 25 and read down through verse 35. If you'll please follow along with us here in the scriptures. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Will you please pray with me and for me? Father, have we blessed you this evening to allow us to be in this service. How we thank you for all you have done for us today, the prayers that you have answered, the protection that you have given us, the provisions that you have laid before us. And Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for this pastor. We thank you for the visiting church tonight and their dear pastor. Thank you for the good choir music we heard this evening. Thank you for the special music we heard. Lord, thank you for everyone who in any way has done anything to contribute to this meeting. Lord, we thank you so much for them. Now, Father, we desire your divine presence to be with us and upon us. And help us tonight with liberty and power and wisdom to say what we need to say. And use us in this hour that we might bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ, and that each listener might be edified. We do pray our prayer in Christ's name and offer our thanksgiving in the same. Amen and amen. Now, the Lord being my helper, I want to talk to you a little while this evening about Simeon, a man of character and consecration. Now, as I was looking over my notes, there's four things that came to me about this character named Simeon. Number one is his piousness. Simeon was a pious man. He was a man who was right with God, as it is evidenced here in the scripture. And the second thing is the practical lessons that we learn from Simeon's behavior here in our passage. And the third thing we learn about Simeon is what he is a type of, or what he pictures in this story here. And then fourthly is what Simeon proves by his life. Now, if we get done all the way tonight, we'll look a little bit at each one of these four things. But let us begin tonight that before us here is a man who had one main objective in life. He had one goal. Here is a man that lived for one purpose. And what a challenge that is to my life, that my life could be so directed that I would have one objective. He lived for one purpose. There is nothing else that mattered to this man. And I'm thinking of two other instances in the scriptures. I'm sure there are more. But one concerns a dear woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years. And this poor woman had spent all her living, everything she had. But rather than get better, she only grew worse. But the Bible says, when she had heard of Jesus. I'm glad somebody was speaking about the Lord Jesus. And when she had heard of Him, she determined in her heart, she had one objective in life. If I can but touch His clothes, I shall be made whole. And she determined to do that. And the Bible said she came in the press behind Him, not in His face, because the Levitical law said that she was an unclean person. And she dare reach out and touch Him. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. And that made the objective of her life. She lived for that one thing, and she saw it come to pass. Then I'm thinking also of the Apostle Paul, a great preacher, and what an author he was. How the Holy Ghost used him to write 14 of the 27 books of our New Testament. And Paul said in his letter to the church at Philippi, he said, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth under those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, this one thing I do. And so what he did, he brought all three of these things and made them one objective. Forgetting, reaching forth, and pressing toward the mark for the prize. Now, here is someone who lived for that objective. He had one thing, this one thing I do. And when Paul was ready to leave this life, I believe somehow he knew that his time was short. He said, I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. You know what he's saying? I reached my objective. I was able to bring in control what I sought after as the main purpose of my life. And Pastor, when I was reading this story about Simeon here, I said, oh God, help me to have a heart like that. Help me to have a one main objective in life. And that main objective is to glorify you. No matter what anybody else does, we're going to look at that in a minute in Simeon's life. No matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says, let me be a one-purpose man. Let me have one objective in my life, and that is to follow hard after God. Now, Simeon is somewhat of a strange character in a sense. He's not the only one of this situation, but Simeon appears suddenly in Scripture, and just as suddenly as he appears, he disappears. We don't know anything else about him. We do not know where he lived. We do not know anything about his history whatsoever. But Simeon's character, I think, can be summed up on these words. I'm going to give you five of them tonight. Number one is piety. Now notice what the scripture says about Simeon here. He said that he was just and devout. That's in the first verse of our text. Now just describes his standing before God, and devout describes his state before God. Both of them are important. Our standing never changes, but our state can change. But here's a man who had them both in the proper order and in an order that brought glory and honor to Jesus Christ. So here he is, his piety. Number two is his fidelity. For the Bible says here that he's waiting. That's also in verse 25. Just and devout, waiting, the scripture says, for the consolation of Israel. Here is what I mean by that term. Simeon believed God and he proved it because he was waiting. God told him that he was going to see something before he died. And Simeon endured. He stayed with it. He never lost the vision that God gave unto him. And he waited here, just and devout before God. And thirdly, I want to leave with you the term humility. The Bible says that he came by the Spirit of God. Here is a man who submitted himself unto the leadership of the Holy Spirit. What God is wanting out of Simeon's life, Simeon submits to that. Amen. Now I'm going to say some more about this in just a minute, but I'm giving you these descriptive terms of this great servant of God. And so the fourth thing here we see is his priority. He took him up. Now, he had come for that purpose. And what meant more to Simeon than anything else, this was the number one on his list when he was able to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's salvation. When he was able to see this, the Bible says here, he took him up. Now, it didn't matter what anybody else thought, what anybody else said. Simeon had a priority here to take the Lord Jesus Christ up, no matter how anybody else might have felt about it. Surely there were more people in the temple than Simeon was. There had to be Joseph, there had to be Mary, and no doubt the Pharisees, they're always there observing to make sure everything is done the way they think that it ought to be done, and the priest is there, but here is Simeon. It didn't matter what anybody else thought. Amen. As far as everybody else was concerned, it might have just been another baby, another little boy brought into the temple to be presented unto the Lord. But it surely was different unto him. It didn't matter what anybody else thought. He was going to have this priority met and fulfilled in his life. Now, the fifth word I leave with you is the term integrity. All of these have to do with the piousness of a Simeon. Now, notice here what he says in the verse 31 through 35. He said, "This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." Here's a man who believed God and was neither afraid nor ashamed to declare what God had shown unto him through the scriptures. Now, here are the practical lessons I want us to look at that we can live from the life of this great man. What if duration of dedication ordained our steps? Notice here, the Bible says he is just and devout. and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. Here's a man who had dedicated himself to the very thing that God said he would be visited with. It didn't matter how long it took. He just determined, I am going to stay with it until I see what God has told me I'm going to see. Now, what if that happened in my and your life as an everyday Christian? What if we endured? What if we were dedicated to what God has told us we ought to do, we ought to be involved in, we ought to look into, and we determine we're going to stay with it. It does not matter how long it takes. Now, as to whether or not Simeon told anybody in the temple of what was taking place between him and God and the consolation of Israel, we do not know. But you can imagine how people are. No doubt some of them were questioning him, what are you doing back in here today? He may have been coming days. He may have been coming weeks because he did not know for sure who the Christ would be. He just would not die until he had seen him. And I wonder, Pastor, how many couples had brought their little baby boy in there, and Simeon looked down into his face and said, nope, this is not him. But it did not deter him from coming again day after day. God give us some stickability. God give us something that we're going to stay on the course that he has put us on. Many years ago, when I surrendered my life and will to Jesus Christ, I determined by the grace of God, I'm going to stay true to you, Lord. I'm going to love you all the days of my life. And I've had a whole lot of people who said they were my friend, but they turned their back on me and forsook me. I have had a lot of times that my heart has been disappointed and broken because of what people have said or what people have done or what people have told others about me that it got back to me. But I determined, by the grace of God, Lord, what you've shown me that I am to do, I'm going to do it, Pastor. I don't care what anybody else says, how much they laugh. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never go anywhere. You'll starve to death. I said, if I starve to death, I'll just starve to death. I'm going to see the end of what God has put upon my heart that I am to do. God, give us some people. I want to challenge you young people tonight. Surrender your life and your will to God. I'm not accusing anybody, but if it's not surrendered fully to God, let's take our hands off our life, put the reins of our heart into the hands of the Lord Jesus, and let him control our life. And I promise you, if you'll do that, and you live to my age, you, hallelujah, you'll be looking back over a life with joys and thrills, and I assure you, you'll not be living a life of regret. I know where a man is right now that I preached to him and begged to him. He would not do this. He chose to go the other way. Oh, he belonged to God. He was saved. But he just had too much flesh he wanted to exercise. Got himself in such a mess. Every time I go to see this man, he spends 3/4 to 90% of our visit time talking about what he wish he had done with his life. He has been this way for years. I'm not talking about a few weeks. I am talking about years. This man has been that way. And brother, if I took you down to his house and we talk with him after we'd been talking no more than 5 minutes, he goes into that. Why he is where he is. How many times this man has said, I don't know that I've ever visited him that he has not said this. I am paying for my sin. Amen. I am suffering because of the sin that I was involved in. Hey, I'm telling you, some of the finest Christians in the world are suffer. Amen. Our brother's talking about them tonight. And I may suffer. I may end up like that on a sick bed and suffer. But thank God for one thing. I'm not going to have to look back over a life with regret. You see, someday, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come to the end of this life. And it's going to matter how we live when we come to the end of this life. The passage I quoted a moment ago, the Apostle Paul is at the end of his life. And he's looking back. And you know what he sees on his record? I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. The course God set me out on, I stayed on it. Amen. And I finished it. And I have kept the faith. The faith that was committed unto me. Amen. Jesus Christ counted us preachers faithful, putting us into the ministry. Boy, I want to see the end of it, don't you? And I'm telling you, young people, and I know you look at me and I'm an old man. I realize that. But I'm telling you, you're going to be where I am before you think about it. Amen. You'll be amazed when you hit that 30 mark how that time flies. And every decade, it seems to get faster and faster and faster. I'm telling you, surrender your life to God. Be like old Simeon was. Oh, you're going to hear some reproof and some rebuff along the way. People are not going to understand your motive of giving your heart and life solely unto Jesus Christ. They're not going to understand that. They might even make fun of you. I talked a little bit about that last night. They made fun of me, but I'm telling you right now, I'm still on course. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm still on course. I had men to make fun of me the way I treated my wife. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm thinking of two of them made fun of me the way I treated my wife. I love my wife. She's precious. And when I go places, if she can go, she's going to go. Amen. She's the best company. Amen. I have. She's the best company I have. They made fun of that, Pastor, and a lot of that. But I'm going to tell you something. They're not together anymore. Thank God my wife and I am. Now I'm telling you. And I'm saying again, I'm not up here telling you I'm anything. But I know there's a God in heaven. Amen. And if we'll honor Him, He'll honor us. He'll do it, won't He, preacher? Look what He's done in your life. So, I just got six of these. That's one. What if duration of dedication ordained our steps? Now, Lord, You told me if I do this, You'd do that. We just wait. God can be trusted. Whatever He said He's going to do, He's going to do. Now, number two, what if divine design was believed and lived out in us? Now, here's what God said to Simeon. He should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. This was divinely designed of Almighty God. And He had laid it out before Simeon here, what is going to take place. Simeon believed that. And he not only believed it, but he lived it every day of his life. I believe, Pastor, he was at the temple. I believe he was at the temple. And I wonder how many of those little baby boys he lifted the cover off and looked into the face and covered it back up. Amen. But he stayed true. God told me this. I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. Amen. You see, in these scriptures, we learn God says, if you will do certain things, I will bless you. And may I say, God's blessings do not always come in the form of money. They come in other ways. My dad told me a story many years ago, and he said there was this man, and he wrote this in an article later. But he said he was sitting in his church, and his pastor preached on tithing. And, of course, he used, and you can argue here or whatever, but he used an Old Testament scripture. And he said, if you bring your tithes in the storehouse, then God will open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing on you. And so this man said, I don't believe that, but I'm going to try it. And he said he started tithing his income. And he said he went on, and a year's finished. He's going to try it a year. A year is up. And he said, I don't have a whole lot more, and I hadn't had large sums of money come to me. And he said, all of a sudden, I started thinking, you know, my car's not broke down one time this year. And he said, you know what? Neither myself or my wife have had to go to the doctor. And he started adding all that up, and he said, it is true. Hey, God is going to keep His word. Amen. He doesn't have to keep it the way we think He ought to keep it, but He's going to do what He said He's going to do. And what if this divine design was believed? God has a design for every person's life in here. Learn what that design is and live it to the end. It'll come to pass. Now, number three. What if discernment of the Holy Ghost leading ordered our actions? The Bible says of Simeon here that he came by the Spirit into the temple. Verse 27. Came by the Spirit. What if our life was so ordered by the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is real. He indwells every one of us who are saved by the grace of God. He guides us. He leads us. He tells us what to do. He tells us what not to do. Amen. What if we, would you not like to be in one service where everybody in that service listened to the Holy Ghost? You know what? If everybody in this building listens to the Holy Ghost this night, there will not be one person leave unconverted. There will be one person. There will not be one person leave unsurrendered to the Lord's call and the Lord's design for your life. There will not be one person exit this building without having received a fresh breath from heaven. God has ordained that the church gather together. And when we come here, ordered by the Holy Spirit, and that's why we are here. Amen. God is going to bless that. He is going to bless His people who are obedient unto Him. What if discernment were able to see what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do? When the preacher asks for testimonies and you sense the Holy Spirit is moving on your heart to testify, what do you do? When the choir leader says, let's fill up the choir, is that leadership of the Holy Ghost? I believe it is. Amen. Come before His presence with singing. Oh, sing a new song unto the Lord. The scriptures are full of us giving praise and singing praise unto God Almighty. What if everybody just minded the Holy Spirit? Simeon did. Now look at number four. What if denunciation of all that distracted our worship was practiced? Simeon comes in, he sees the Christ child, and he takes him up in his arms. Now think about that a minute. What is he doing? He is worshiping. It didn't matter. I don't know what all went on there, but it very well could be, Pastor, when Mary and Joseph comes in with their little baby boy. You know what the Jews accused Christ of later on? We be not born of fornication, implying that he was. Can you imagine what some of them might have said and looked down their long, self-righteous nose at Mary and at Joseph and sneered at that little baby boy there, and over goes Simeon and just picks him up. He's not distracted by what somebody else might say or somebody else might think. He's there for one purpose, to worship God. And I told our church this not long ago, Pastor. I said, I'd like to be in one service where everybody comes for one purpose, and that's to worship Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying you're not here for that purpose. I'm just saying, what if? Now, the preacher is getting ready to read his text. He's told where it is. We have opened our Bibles to that text, and our cell phone buzzes. What do we do? Do we let that cell phone distract us from worship, or do we just let it buzz? I'd be a little concerned about people, church people, who gets buzzes at church time anyhow. Wouldn't you? The preacher is coming down on the main objective. He's been aiming at this, and he's about to let her go. And your neighbor punches you and wants to talk about something that hasn't. What do you do? Simeon did not let anything distract him. No matter how anybody looked, no matter what they said, no matter what noise or anything else happened, he just ran over and picked that little baby boy up and held him up and worshiped God. Oh, my. My. I almost think that we all, you know, years ago they had what they called a gun check. When you came into town or went into certain establishments, you had to check your gun. Wonder if we put a sign up that said, cell phone check. I'm about to get in trouble now. You can pick it up as you leave. That's what the sheriff would tell them. I want your gun, you can pick it up as you leave. I was preaching along this line, and I said this. I probably shouldn't have. I say some things sometimes I shouldn't say. But you don't have to tell me. The Holy Ghost tells me. Okay. But anyway, I was preaching along this line, and I said, some of you teenage girls would have a conniption if you had to do without your cell phone one day. And I just went on preaching. After the service, this man came up. And he said, preacher said, you're wrong about that. If mine had to do without it an hour, she'd have a conniption. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if we loved to talk to Jesus. Like we like to talk on our cell phone. Oh, yes, I've got one. You about got to have one anymore, I guess. I think so anyway. I've got one. Amen. And there's been a time or two I used it in church. But you know what I was doing? I had a word I wanted to use and I wasn't quite clear on its meaning. And so I pulled out my dictionary and checked it out. But I told the church what I was doing because I was sitting on the front seat and the choir was watching me. So I had to tell them what was going on. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just meet and forget about everything else? Yes, sir. Forget about everything else and just meet to worship God. You know, we talk about the old time ways. I read about it the other night. Remember that? We talk about the old time ways and the Spirit of God wave after wave. Some of you in here can remember those days. You can remember them. I mean, the Holy Ghost was just like a wave, just one after. You can remember those times. But you know what? People met a lot of times and nothing else mattered. They're going to the house of God. They're going to worship. They don't care who sees them. I was listening to Herman Minyard. Have you ever heard him? He's out in Oklahoma. And I was listening to him down in Florida, preaching at North Tampa Baptist Camp Meeting. And he was talking about a service they had recently at his church. And he said, it got on. And he said, I'm going to tell you how to tell if a shout is real or not. And he said, this lady got up to shouting and said, when she was shouting, her wig fell off. And said, somebody picked it up and waved it at her and said, she just kept shouting. And come by and grabbed it and stuck it down in her pocketbook and just kept on a shouting. He said, now that's a real shout. I wouldn't argue that, would you? Would you argue that? I wouldn't. But you know, nothing mattered then. Just worship God. Boy, I can remember, I promise you one thing. Vestal Goodman is not the first lady I ever saw with a hanky shaking it. I grew up in a church where those old saints would shout and walk the aisles. I'm not saying you have to shout, but we have to worship. We have to worship. And Simeon here went in to worship. Now, look at this number 5, I think. Okay, what if the desire to see Jesus domineered our purpose in coming to the house of God? It's not who's preaching. It's not who's singing. I want to go for one purpose. Jesus promised to meet with us, didn't he? I am in the midst. There am I in the midst of them. And so Revelation 1, so you know what that is. The candlestick's the type of the church. Jesus in the midst of them. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is here tonight. This is his church. He is in our midst tonight. Whether we sense him to be here or not, he is here. And what if the main purpose of our coming tonight was just to see him? And that was all that mattered. Nothing else mattered. Just to see Jesus. And Simeon said here, after he's seen him and worshipped him, let us now, thy servant, depart in peace. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm ready to go. Sixthly, what if the delight in Jesus was so genuine, it would be demonstrated by lifting him up and blessing him? We had a gentleman come to our church once in Florida. And he and his wife started coming rather regularly. We became friends. And I was preaching one day the way I am now about worshiping God, not being ashamed of the Lord, to testify, lift your hand, holler, amen, hallelujah, glory, whatever the Lord tells you to do. I was preaching along that line. And after service, he went out the door just as honest as he could be. He said, now, preacher, I'm one of them quiet worshipers. He said,
I'm just not very emotional. And I thought, oh boy, all of us are emotional. It just takes different things to stir our emotion. So anyway, he let the word out. He'd love to go fishing. Well, I had a little old John boat. Everybody live in Florida got a little John boat. So I said, come on, I'll take you fishing. We went out to Salt Lake, and we were sitting out there fishing. And I said, hey, brother, I said, see that big lily pad over there? And he said, yeah. I said, cast that lure right over there. And he drew back and he threw that thing, and it when it hit about that close to the edge of that big lily leaf. And I said, don't do anything, just let it sit there a while. I just really goofing off, honest. And I said, don't do a thing. So it sat there about 30 seconds, and I said, now just give it a little twitch. He gave it a little twitch. I said, don't do anything else, just let it lay there. I just goofing off, really. We waited about 30 more seconds. I said, now give it another little twitch. And he did, and when he did, that water exploded. There was a largemouth bass. I think it weighed 7 pounds. It came out of there, and it grabbed that lure. And he finally got it in. He said, he's shaking, and he said, Brother Jones, I got to sit down in the boat. If we didn't have mixed audience, I'd tell you what else he did. We're all emotional. I would hate, I'm concluding, I would hate to go out in the world and make more noise at a ball game or a stock car race, amen, and come to the house of the Lord and just, God is in his holy temple. Be still and know that I am God. There is a time to be still. There is a time to move about. One old preacher back up in the hills from where I live said it like this, said it's amazing. We go to a ball game and act like a Comanche Indian, and we come in the house of God and sit like a wooden one. That's what he said. I didn't say that. I'm relating to you what he said. But I would. I don't think there's a thing wrong in getting excited about a ball game. A stock car race, I'm not against that. My boy played 4 years in high school. I went to every game I could. I cheered him on. But I'm going to make a little noise in the house of God, too. I'm going to glorify the Lord. I'm going to be heard from. Amen. What if it? We come to the house of the Lord, and that domineered our actions and our thoughts, just taking him up and blessing him. I don't know that we could delight ourselves in the Lord, do you? Without taking him up and blessing him. This choir took him up tonight, didn't they? And blessed him. This pastor, visiting pastor, sang. Did he not take him up and lift him up? Did not the pastor of this church get up here and take him up and lift him up? Sure he did. Some of you did too. I don't think we can delight ourselves in him and not take him up and not bless him. I don't want to have a greater hero in this world than the one who saved my soul from hell. He's number one. He means more to me than anything else. Anything else. We'll stand together. Simeon, a man of character and confidence.